and you can hear me. Can you hear me back there? Okay, good deal. It's kind of awkward because like the speakers are out in front, and so, all right. All right, guys. All right, y'all. I'll go ahead and get started here. Does anybody need any prayer? Any prayer requests or anything? We're going to give a praise report. Let's do prayer requests, then praise report right after.
Tommy.
Okay, so we're going to pray for to Chicago. Yes, ma'am.
He lands in O'Hare.
What's that? Job for your husband. Okay. Sounds good. Good morning. How are you, Miss Yvonne? I am just peachy. So, job and then Tommy. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Your what?
My right knee.
Your right knee. Right knee. Okay. All righty. Family. Okay. All right.
I have a problem with
the
right shoulder.
Right shoulder. Yeah. Okay. Renee, she's got a praise report she wants to give real quick.
I have been deathly ill all weekend, and Saturday, about afternoon time, after everybody was praying at prayer, God just intervened, and it was just a smooth sailing.
Yes.
I mean, I've been deathly ill, and I'm...
Praise the Lord.
Hey,
raises you up. Yes. Well...
Right after prayer. I mean, right after y'all prayed, it just...
Okay. Well, you know what would be a good seed? How do you feel about praying the prayer for the knee and for the shoulder and for everyone to get started this morning? So, you know, healing to rise up in you, it's a good way to sow a seed. Unless you want me to do it, I will be glad to. I'll do it. I'll do it. All right. I don't mind a bit. Nope.
I'm sending it.
Okay. I receive it. Well, Father, right now we just lift up to you, Lord, this whole time and pray over these physical needs, Lord God. And we already know that it's the Word that we go to, and the Word says that we are already healed. It's our bodies and circumstances that lie to us. And sometimes we need some wisdom. So sometimes it's just a matter of speaking the Word. So, Lord, we just set ourselves at the end of that matter, which is we are the healed of the Lord. And there's things that are trying to convince us that we are not. And so for where wisdom needs to come in, Lord, I'm asking that you give them wisdom to reveal to them if something needs to change for that healing to manifest, Lord. But we declare the end of the matter. We declare the right knee's healed and the right shoulder's healed. And praying over these family needs for jobs. We pray safety over Tommy. We pray for just multiple avenues of increase to open up, for jobs to manifest themselves, because the kingdom is looking for us. Yes. We're not looking for it. So when we stay still sometimes for the salvation of the Lord, that job just unfolds right in front of us, Lord. And we just give you the praise for that. And praying over this family that's lost a loved one, Lord, we just speak that the Holy Ghost will wrap his arms around those people, Lord, and just bring comfort to the family, Father. And now I put myself into your capable hands, Lord. I want all of you and none of me, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would give me the ability to convey what you've shown me for this hour, and be able to impart that as a messenger from you, Lord. And it's just, I only want the words that the Father has to speak, not the words that Andy has to speak. And I thank you for it, and I give you the praise for it in advance in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so.
The prayer was so good.
Oh.
It was meant to be.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. That's fine. So, I want to share with you something that's relatively new to for me, okay? So this started actually 1 week ago today. And 1 week ago today, we were in Albania. And what I can tell you is, I told Pastor Mike after he gave a word. He got up from the front row, went up and preached. And I know other people, you were there. Other people heard different things when I started talking about how good the message was. But what I heard was separate from what everybody else heard. Because like God's so individual, he can customize what you need right now. And you can hear the same words as I hear. And you'll see something different than I, because he's so multi-layered. I mean, and it's just amazing to me how he can do this. And I literally, Pastor Mike made a statement. And the statement that he made was, I don't even remember exactly how he said it, but it's like God just pulled the door back. And you could see, and you're like, oh, and he shuts the door, and you're like, and I've been processing it for a week, and it only takes like that long. And when you see it, you're like, whoa, because it's not stuff that comes out of your brain. It's stuff that the Holy Spirit imparts to your spirit and illuminates it to you. And then I've spent a week praying in the Spirit and listening to the Lord, trying to get it to bubble up into thoughts where I can take it and give it to you the way that it was given to me, because only the Holy Spirit, that's how we know. Like, we were over there, a lot of Muslim people, a lot of different religions and things, and we have the only, I guess, belief system, if you will, that illuminates from the inside out. That's how we know when you have all these other religions and stuff, that their stuff is coming to them externally. Even Satan, if he comes to somebody and, like, you know, it's coming from the outside in, unless the person deals with it where the devil gets in them or whatever. But for us, born-again people, it's coming from the inside out. And so that's how you can know that we're right, and all the other is there's no name given under heaven except for the name of Jesus whereby man can be saved. And so Pastor Mike's statement, he basically said, I want to return to the Lord his reward for his sufferings. And I was sitting there and I was like, what? And I got to thinking, we're going to reward the Lord? And then I saw it and I had to really chew on it for a little bit. And I kind of got a little bit of it, and I like literally went up to Pastor Mike afterwards, and I was like, I literally wanted to come up to you and go, why didn't you tell me this, sir? you know, he said, well, I just found out about it. I was standing right there on the front row when the Lord said this to me, to return to him the reward for his sufferings. And I mean, it was just so big that I didn't really know what to do with it or how to process it. So I started praying about it, thinking about it, listening to the Lord and the whole thing. And the Lord took me back recently. Like, Lance had asked me to speak at a men's breakfast. And I know some of you have heard part of this, but you haven't heard it all, because, like, I'm just getting some of it this week and last night. And I'm just like, you know, like when you did your coffee deal, you'd have had to been there. It was totally awesome. But we drank more coffee on that trip than
coffee.
Pastor Mike stopping for a third round of coffee at 11 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like going, I can't take anymore. So before at this men's breakfast, Lance had asked me to speak. And so I went to the Lord about two or three days before. And I said, Lord, and I heard this from Pastor Mike when he went to a meeting and he was on the ground. The Lord spoke this to him. I want you to see what I see, feel what I feel, hear what I hear, know what I know.
Wow.
And what I will tell you is, if you really mean that prayer, get ready when you pray it, because I did not get what I thought I would get when I prayed it. And I said, I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to feel what you feel. Know what you know. Hear what you hear. And see what you see. And the only way I can describe it is if, like, you know those big, thick quilts that are heavy? Like, if you took them and you soaked them in water and got them completely saturated and then laid it over me, and it just, it was such a heaviness and tearfulness. I mean, I'm not really a crier, but I did then, and I still have when I think about this. But I had to go lay down on the bed for, like, intermittently for, like, 2 days. I couldn't, I mean, I was just so, just my heart was breaking, because the Lord, he came to me at the very beginning, and I saw the Lord, and he was standing on the horizon, not like an open vision or like, you know, physical. It was just in my spirit. The Lord, this is coming up in me. And I saw the Lord, and he's standing on the horizon, and he's looking down, and I'm standing on his right side over here, and he's looking like this at the earth way above, and it's like, you can see the lights. It's dark, and the lights on the earth, and he's looking down, and he looks over at me, and when he looks up like this, he has tears going down his eyes, and he said, one last push, one more push. Last call. This is it. And he said it like that. And he was just, I didn't know what to do with that. I was just like, oh my gosh. And it just, it into my soul, man, I just was like, oh God, what can I do? Lord, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And then Pastor Mike made that statement like last Sunday about helping him or giving him back the reward of his suffering. And so I started saying, Lord, okay, I mean, what is the reward of your suffering? What is it? And you got to realize the Word of God says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all material things, everything. It's all his. We may have it leased out, if you understand that that's how it's set up. We have limited authority for a season. And if you understand leasing land, you'll understand that the owner still owns it, but I'm leasing it and I can do what I want until the contract expires 6,000 years, right? And our calendars are not completely lined up with his, but you can bet it's going to happen at the exact second it's supposed to happen. And so, yeah, divine appointment. And so with that being said, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, the only one thing that I can think of that he does not have is, first of all, it says that, it's not his will that anybody perish, but that everyone, all of us, 100% of the people on the planet come to repentance. He will not overstep your will. He won't. And if you don't believe you have free will and you don't believe in that theology and everything, I want you to think about it. If that's what he said, that, he doesn't want anyone to perish, there's people perishing today. There's people in hell today. There are. There's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And this is part of it, too, is he told Abraham and Lazarus, it says, it's not a parable. It starts off and it says, there was a certain man. Yeah. A certain man. And it talks about a certain beggar. In other words, what I'm telling you is legitimately, this is real. This is not a parable. This is not, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the word that we use, but yeah, whatever. There's a word I'm looking for, but it's not coming to me. That's okay. You get what I'm saying. It was a real thing. And the man said he still thought Lazarus was a servant, It was in the center of the earth at the time before Jesus went to hell when he died on the cross. And it says that there's a great gulf fixed between the righteous dead and the unrighteous dead. And he's said, please send someone back. I'm tormented in these flames. And he said, no. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And I mean, that's a hard thing. He said, even if I sent somebody back from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And I realized at that point that Moses is dead. The prophets are dead. Yeah, we have the written word, but how will they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without a teacher? How are they going to hear that? They have Moses and the prophets and Tim and Yvonne and Brian. Let them hear them. And that's how big the responsibility is. And so we have to take that on to ourselves and own that, because to think, I heard a story about Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. He was talking about, he was sitting on a front porch with some man, and they were sitting out there on the front porch, and they were just talking. And the Lord spoke to him, said, "This man doesn't know me. I want you to witness to him." And Brother Hagin was like, "Well, the moment's not quite right." You know, he's reasoning. Yeah. And it comes up a second time, and then a third time, and he still hasn't done anything about it. Now, after this event happened, I don't think he ever did it again, but he didn't minister to him. Well, like the next day or the next week, I'd have to go back and look the story up. The man died. And the Lord, very quickly, he showed him, he pulled the veil back, and the man was in flames. And so for us to realize that we have a responsibility like that, that someone literally could spend an eternity burning in flames. I remember as a volunteer firefighter, if you've never done this, and I'm sure there may be some experienced firefighters out here. I wasn't super experienced. I was on a volunteer department. But they took us into this. Somebody donated a house to be burned. And so we were going to burn it by rooms. So we went and we boarded up the entrances to the two doors. And we left a crawl space enough for somebody to get on their stomach with a air tank on and crawl back. And our chief said, "Want to demonstrate, you guys, you know, if you've never been in a real fire, just kind of what this is like." And so he took hay bales and set them in the corner of this room. This room's like, I don't know, probably from me to that speaker. And it wasn't quite that square. It was a little bit more narrow on the ends, but 14 by 10 or something like that, you know. And he put hay bales in there. He took diesel fuel, and he poured diesel fuel on the hay bales. And he said, "Now watch this. Here's what people don't understand about the flame." And it talks about sulfur, you know, being in hell. And I am trying to give you a very vivid picture because I want you to get this. So he pours diesel fuel on these hay bales and then lights it on fire. And I'm sitting up against the wall. He had us all sitting in a line in the wall except for that one corner. And there was a crawl space. And he said, "If anybody gets afraid or whatever, or if something happens or whatever, just crawl out." And I think there was only one of them that crawled out. I sat there. But he said, "Now, this is what people don't understand. Things can get so dark that you can't even see flames." Yeah. And it's because of that diesel fuel that puts off that black smoke and stuff. And so I'm sitting there, and he lights it. And, you know, I see the flames. And then all of a sudden, the flames go away, and there's this black smoke. And you can't even see the flames that's from here to that speaker. But it starts getting so hot. We got all that gear on. It got up to like 1,200 degrees in there. Wow. And stuff. And you're just sitting there going, "Oh my God." The first thought that went through my head was, "I don't need to go to hell. That's not the place for me." I'm serious. That was the first thought. I was like, "Wow." And so, yeah. So, anyways, I saw Jesus standing on the edge of the horizon, and he looked at me and said what he said. And then fast forward to us going to Albania, Pastor Mike preaching the message, and then him saying that. So I noticed, you know, one thing about Jesus is he's very clear about reward. He mentions it all the time. So don't think that, oh, you know, it's a sin to, like, well, I'm going to be rewarded for this or whatever. I mean, your motivation is going to be what he looks at, totally. But that's where I'm going with this. This is where I'm going with this. Is he's clear about it. Even in the end, one of the last things he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. And I went through like 78 references of the word reward yesterday. Like, how does this apply? What is his reward? Where in the Bible can I find what is his reward? And so I started looking, and it says in Isaiah, well, first of all, do you remember Genesis 15:1? God told Abram, he said, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So God was Abraham's reward, right? Okay, well, that's fine. That's one part of it. But what I want to know is, what is his reward?
Right.
He's my reward. And I think of songs that say, you might know, Yvonne, I don't know the lyrics, but like, we are his portion and he is our prize, or something like that. I'm telling you, this right here, it got down in my toenails, and I'm like, I'm a changed man. That's all I can say. I told my wife, I said, I may look the same, but I'm different. Yeah. Don't be scared. No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb. Now, while that may be a talking about the parents are rewarded with children, it is. Well, he's the ultimate father, and so that is his reward. He wants people, the biggest thing for him is he suffered so that people will love him because they want to love him, not because they have to love him. In the Old Testament, the man wasn't born again. You know, he said that's a heart of stone, but that's not what he wants. He says, I'm going to take away that heart of stone, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in them, and I'm going to walk in them, and I'm going to talk in them, and they're going to be my God. I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. That's his ultimate desire.
Yes.
And just, man, it's good. And so I realized that he's our reward, and we are his reward. And so what did that do for you? I mean, how do you apply that? It completely changed my worldview in every single way, because now I don't even look at the scriptures. I'm starting to, the scriptures that talk about I'm going to be rewarded for something, I'm not worried about what I get rewarded for anymore. I just want him to be rewarded.
Yes.
My whole motivation is to reward him for his sufferings. For what? How can I show him I love him? I can show him I love him by going after the things that are important to him. How do you serve your wife? You serve her. There's a love language both of you speak, but one thing might mean something to you, and something that's insignificant to you might mean everything to her. And you do that out of service. You love her. You know, when I give you something that you want, I'm giving you when I give you something I want to give you, I'm giving you a gift. But when I give you something you want, that's service. Right? Yeah, yeah. And so we learn what our partner, our ultimate partner, wants. And that's the only thing that he does not have. We went to Albania, and I know, that trip, I'm going to have to go ahead and just say it was the best trip, mission trip. I've been on lots and lots of mission trips. And it was so good. And the food was so good. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, you do. Well, here's the thing, though. This is the best part. And you have that here. And we don't take advantage of it, Renee. We don't. Because the same people that were there were the same people that are here, and I did not realize how much I could learn from people and get from people and be a blessing to people and to those that are around me in my local body until I got Tim can't call work. You know, you can't go to work. You can't, you're stuck there. You know what I mean? You're stuck there. And so, like, Tim's like, I don't know, man. He was going to jump off over a balcony. Long story on there. I ought to stop and tell that. No, no. We were so tired. We traveled. I'm going to stop and do this one thing. We traveled for 2 days. I mean, when we went, it was like they added, I don't even know. I thought jet lag was fake. I'd never been across the Atlantic Ocean. And then we had 3 connecting flights. Oh, it's real. It's so real. And you go across 7 time zones, and you get there, and it's like, it shows we only left here 3 hours ago. I've been traveling for 13 hours. And you're like, oh, I get to relive this day again. Oh, yeah, great. In an airport with all these angry people. Yeah, this is wonderful. So what it did, though, is it gave us the ability to see each other in your raw form. When everybody's tired and everybody's hangry and everybody's, yeah, like it's like they're, you know, but we love each other. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, stanky breath and a whole deal. I'm breathing on people. I'm just being, you know, for real. It was beautiful, though. But the best part, you would think, I'd say that's the best mission trip I've been on. But I've been on lots of mission trips, and I think about the ministry to the people and the people we're going to serve and this. But no, not on this one. It wasn't. It was sitting around the breakfast table, sitting around the dinner table with 12. It was like we, you know, Pastor Mike's Jesus, and we've got his 12 disciples, and we're just sitting there, and man, I mean, you know, Pastor Andrew's teaching, Pastor Mike's teaching, we're getting a word from the Lord. It's just like the Holy Ghost is just hovering over the table, and it's like, I'm like, this is awesome, man, you know, and everybody had their little part. You can see how the body, like, Tim's the, you know, he might be the hand, and I'm the foot, and, you know, you're the arm, and you know, it was beautiful. And I have never bonded with a group of people like that. And so if you've not ever went on a trip with this church, what I will tell you about these pastors, they're not here. So it's not like I'm sucking up here. So I'm just going to say straight that if you come to this church and you don't get it, it's your fault. It just is. It just is. You know, there is enough meat out here that you come to this class, she just cuts off the tiger meat and boom, there you go. You know, and if you're over there sucking on a bottle, you ain't gonna get none of it because you're gonna get clawed out. You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, you have to want even a baby that's born. If that baby doesn't suck, it's gonna die. You know what I'm saying? So you got to put forth the effort. If you come to this class or you come to this church and you are not getting it, I challenge you to check yourself, check your motivation, make sure, you know, yeah, make sure you have a pulse, wake up. We had 21 last night. It was great. It was wonderful. And y'all too. And it's great. Isn't it great though? Yeah. And I got to think about like at the house, like with 21 people, it's like a little bit, but I was like, that's how you get to know people. It's a blessing. It's not a bad thing. It's a really great thing. And yeah, I think the small groups is definitely get hooked into your local body. That's what I'll tell you. If you're not making time to hook into your body, then this body right here, man, there's a lot of people in this body that they got stuff I didn't know they had. And it's like, you can, iron sharpens iron. Me and Tim all week were like, and it was awesome. It was great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what happened was 2 days of travel. What'd you say? Yeah. No. 2 days of travel. And at the end of those 2 days, we made it to the room, and like I roomed with Larry. That's an experience, but I won't go there. Anyways, he wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you know he gets ready and everything. And like they thought I would tell the story about like, but I won't. That was funny. So, no. It was about me. But anyways, I'll give you the short version of it. Larry was my dad. Everybody thought Larry was dad, and I called him dad while we were there. So. Anyways, so Dad's leaving, and he looks at me and like real stern at like 6:45 because I couldn't sleep for certain reasons. It was intermittent, you know, and he looks at me at 6:45 as he's going out the door. He says, "You need to go back to sleep." Okay, Dad. And I was so tired. Well, he goes upstairs to the breakfast table. Breakfast is at 7. Everybody's eating, right? And so Tim's sitting there, and Larry doesn't say a word. So I'm throwing him under the bus this morning. So y'all tell him when you see him. But so he's sitting at the breakfast table, and they're all like, "Where's Andy?" And I don't know. And I mean, he's like, "Oh, I don't know," you know. And he's the one who turned around and commanded me to go back to sleep. And so he's like, "I don't know." So Tim comes down and he's like, "Wham, wham, 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 wham," on the door. I don't wake up. Okay, so he goes, Tim goes back up, correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody's sitting there and somebody makes the statement, "Well, he might be dead." And Tim's like, yeah, go ahead and share that, Tim.
I went up there and they were, I was like, "Hey, Andy's not answering the door." I said, "Y'all try to call him." So they try to call him and he didn't answer his phone. And they said, "Man, that would really suck if he died on this trip." And it freaked me out.
He freaks out, and he comes back, and he's wham, 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 wham. The second time, was it the third time you came or the second time?
That was the second time I came, and I was beating on the door.
Yeah.
He wouldn't answer the door. So I was thinking, well, I'm fixing to jump from my balcony to his.
Yeah, he's about to jump the balcony. And so this is what I get when I wake up. I hear this bam, 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 and I'm like, I get up and I open the door and Tim goes, "I love you, Andy." And I'm like, "I love you too." He goes, "Hug me now." And I was, okay. I hug him. And I was just like, okay. You know, and then so he had to explain the situation, but I was like, man, I was like, "Tim, my wife doesn't even do that." I was like, and I told Yvonne, I said, "Look, man, anything ever happens, I'm moving in. I'm just saying." No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm like, yeah.
He told me with no uncertain terms that if anything was to ever happen to me, he was taking.
I'm moving in. That's all there is to it. We'll work around everything else, but I'm moving in. So, sorry, honey. You know, she's like, "That's okay." So, anyways, that was worth the pit stop there. So, I will say that. So, anyways, how do I apply this? I realize that the Lord is my reward. I am the Lord's reward. And the love, you remember he told the church in Revelation, he said, "Return to your first love." Well, I can tell you that on April the 2nd, 1993, I knew no scripture except I knew one scripture, and that was John 3:16. It's the only scripture. I'm looking, making sure I'm on track here with that. But there was one scripture in the Bible that I knew, and it was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." And there's another scripture. I don't know exactly where it is, but it means a lot to me, which obviously, I guess if it meant that much, I'd know where it was. But no, it does. It means a lot to me. It says, "Jesus looking on him loved him." And if you've never pondered on that scripture, I would definitely encourage you to do so. Because what happened to me was when I was lost in my sin, and I was lost in alcoholism, I was lost in drug abuse and all these things. I mean, I had more problems than I was a train wreck, you know. And the Lord, I found that verse of scripture. I opened my Bible, John 3:16, and I read it, and the words jumped off the page. And I fell to my knees, and I started praying. And I can tell you this only lasted about 2 seconds. It's the 2 seconds that changed my entire life to the point of I didn't need any more scripture at that moment in time. This right here did it. And I was in the desert. I was sitting around this bonfire at night, and me and all my friends, and we're having a party, a bonfire and stuff. And we're all sitting around the fire Indian style. And I remember I had a Budweiser beer in my left hand and a joint in my right hand, and we're just laughing and partying and having a good time. And like I just happened to glance up like that, and when I did, Jesus was hanging on the cross right in front of that fire. and he had blood, and it was running all down in his face and everything. And he literally looked me right in the eyes, man, right in the eyes. And he didn't even speak. He didn't even say anything. But I knew what he was saying. I could. It was like he communicating with me, and he just said, "I love you, and I'm doing this for you."
Wow.
And then it was gone, and I was like, you know, and I wake up, and I like all my beer and my weed and everything, and I'm like, ah! And I took it and dump it out, and I was like, I'm done. That's all. I'm done. But the thing that I want to get over to you about that, he didn't even say anything about sin. Didn't say anything about sin to me. It was all, I love you, and I'm unconditionally doing this because I love you, and I want to give myself for you. And when you receive that type of love in your heart, it will melt away anything that you're dealing with, anything. You got to realize it's the good. We've got it wrong. I mean, I will definitely challenge people here with this. This is where we lost the gay community, the body of Christ.
Right.
A lot of it is
right.
Because their sin is more overt than maybe our sins, right? But it's not sins as in plural. It's sin, singular. There is a sin unto death, sin. And if I can see your sin, I judge you. If I can't see your sin and I don't know about it, you cover it up, then you're not going to be able to be authentic to people. Right? Does that make sense? And so people need that. You're not going to have, this is one of the things that I heard just in my spirit is you're not going to have anointing without authenticity. You're not to the level that you want to walk in it. It's not happening. So we have got to come to the place where this is the commitment I made to the Lord. As I said, look, if there's any fear in me, and he's already, man, is just burning it out of me. It's like, any fear in me, I'm going to hinder your walk if I have fear in me. If I have insecurities, people might go to hell. And while I might have wanted to hold on to those insecurities and things because I was insecure, or whatever, when I realized that someone else could suffer for my insecurities and I wanted to hold on to those to keep them from you knowing about it or you knowing about it or you knowing about it, that takes away from the motivation of his reward and my reward. Now my motivation is I want my reward to become his reward and his reward to become my reward. That way, when I get there for the day of reward, I'm not up there with a calculator going, I did this. I should come out about, cha-ching. You know, I should get about this much.
Right.
No, it's just, this is all I want, guys. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in here. Come in to the joy of the Lord with a smile on his face.
Amen.
That's what I want. That's all I want. And that right there is my motivation. That's my motivation. Whereas maybe before it was a little more calculated this or this. Now it's just simply I want what he wants. And that's all I want. And when I do that, I'm telling you, it turned on the power source. It was like a surge. Just and it just was like a 220. You know, and you're like, and the motivation, the energy that comes with it, like where I was sitting around, I'm like playing video games, you know, before, oh, Lord, help me, you know, and stuff. I'm just telling you straight. Ask Jane. She's like, oh, he's playing games again. Okay, whatever. You know? Yeah. No, Pac-Man. But whatever. Anyways, it has brought a new life to my spirit that wasn't here before I left. And I told Pastor Mike, if I would have had to paid for that mission trip in cash, pay for the whole trip, go down there and not do one single bit of ministry, nothing, go to that church service. And I said, I can hear you anytime. I come to church on Sunday. I come to church on Wednesday night. I can hear you when I want to. And it's like, but that message, If I would have had to pay all the money, go down there and only go to church on Sunday morning and sit there in my hotel room for 8 days and do absolutely nothing with no phone, no computer, no internet, it would have been worth every single penny because it completely changed my worldview. I have a different mindset. And I can tell you, when we were down there, and I know Yvonne, everybody's got a different viewpoint. And that's why God uses us, because you've got a view, you got a view, you got a view, and you think you're right, you think you're right, you think you're right. But it's not that anybody's right or wrong. It's I need what you've got, and you've got, and you've got, and you've got to make it all work as a whole. And because you can cover me in my weaknesses, and I can cover you in yours. And if we were all the same, our weaknesses would grow right along with our strengths. So we'd be really strong over here and very weak over here. But we've got the greater one that's strong in all of our weaknesses. And we can. And so instead of like looking at you because you have a weakness or whatever, we surround each other. And we, yeah, you experience the body. Yeah, 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 yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's what he is coming back for, is a body, a bride that is beautiful, fully functional, and one single-minded, has one thing in mind, and the bride and the groom. And the bride and the groom are wanting to get, I mean, I'm just telling you, the scripture says that anything, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've been through, I've been through, you could take the person with the worst life that they've ever had, and everything went wrong, and they were just, I mean, terrible. Murphy's Law incarnated, you know. And with that being said, the Bible still calls that a light affliction. And what is that scripture? I got that right here, I think. I put it there in case I came to that. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, for a moment, works for us a, now listen to the way this is worded, it says moment, compared to a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So anything bad you've experienced in this life, and this is the other thing the Lord told me to, I want to kind of share this, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give me the right words, because I want you to see this, because this, people say, well, you're splitting hairs. Well, this is a hair that needs to be split, because as the body of Christ, we've done it wrong for so long. You have got to realize one of the ways that you help him get his reward is you knowing what to embrace and what to resist. Because people say, oh, well, you know, I had cancer, but it was a blessing in disguise, or blah, 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 blah. I understand what they're saying, but let me be clear and define this out. Cancer is not a blessing. It's not. It's a curse. It's a curse from the pit of hell. And God has no part of giving someone cancer. Period. End of story. No discussion about it, as far as I mean, I found it in the book. And so how it says to be thankful in everything, not for everything. And so cancer or any other sickness, disease, or whatever, if we're embracing that in any form, way, shape, or fashion, we are being deceived and lied to. How do we give glory to God, and how do we distinguish the difference? We realize the curse, and we resist it with everything that is in us, from the toenails down up. I mean, every cell in my body. No, I will not take that. Stacy, am I lying? I will not have any part of that. You take that back to hell where you got it. No, sir. No, sir. No. And how long will it take? I don't know. Till it's gone. That's how long. That's the reason you hold fast. You endure hardness. Now, that's, and you got to realize that hardness, that's not necessarily, that's not God putting something on you to test or try. He doesn't do that. And the way that I can describe this is, let's think of someone that goes to the gym and works out all the time. Those weights have one goal, to destroy muscle. That's what they do. to destroy, not to build muscle. The weight itself destroys muscle. If your body, it rips it and then it grows back. So if you don't have two things, the ability to resist the weight and the ability for your body to heal itself, that weight would destroy your muscle. It would have killed, stealed, and destroyed from you. And so my resistance to that, and my father that heals me daily, and my resistance and my building, and my resistance and my building, then it gets to the place where the devil goes, okay, no more frontal attacks in this area. Because, you know, I want to be the guy that the devil, little devil, gets the assignment and says, go on in there. Please don't send me back in there. Please don't send me back in there. That dude's crazy, man. It's like, no, you get back in there. Oh, man, come on. Let's flank him or something. You know, let's come up from behind. But I ain't going in because he will just, you know. And that's the reputation you want in hell. And it's not that it's your reputation. It's just found I've made his reward my reward. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. That's our goal. That's our mission. And if we can't display that to people, then we're failing in our mission. So we need some clarity about how all of this goes down. And God has no part of anything. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, the Word. Submit yourself to the Word. Like Pastor Andrew said, bring yourself under the authority of the sword. Jesus was not, and I love what she says, Jesus was not telling the devil, he was talking to the devil, but he was talking to himself. Yeah. The devil would bring a thought to him. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. And he was talking to himself. He was reminding himself. Because what is he doing? He's submitting himself to God, and he's automatically, inadvertently resisting the devil. And the Bible says that when you resist the devil in the book of James, he will flee from you. He has no defense against what you've got. And so, again, this has changed my complete motivation, and I just want the Lord to receive. And it's like just started healing me, and it's like, wow, man, it's been one of the greatest revelations I've ever had in my entire life, and changed like literally everything. And I found one thing that I wanted to read. I don't know who this lady was, so I'm going to steal it from her and, you know, commit, what do they call that whenever you... Plagiarism. Yeah, plagiarism. I'm going to plagiarize this right up, straight up. Don't care. She can sue me. So, yeah, don't care. That kind of clarifies the fact. Well, he did say that he's completely plagiarizing it. So that's kind of like an oxymoron in itself. It's like plagiarism is not plagiarism. So whatever. Yeah, yeah. Her name is, and I did read a little bit about her because I didn't want to feel too guilty. I don't. Jennifer, I don't know how you say that, Arimborgo. I don't know what name, I don't know. So close enough. This is what she said in the scripture that she gave. Isaiah 40 and 10 and 11. And it says, now I'll always, there's certain words that trigger in me when I hear them. The word behold is one of them. When the Lord says, behold, you need to stop and behold. Because he's saying, look at this. And there's statements where he says, behold, behold, almost like, it's like, hey, I'm trying to get this over. Or like when he says, isn't it sad that the Son of God has to say, verily, verily. That means truly, truly. It's the same thing as saying, truly, I'm not lying to you. Truly, I'm not lying to you. So, and the Son of God has to make statements like that. Go, believe this, believe this. But this is, behold, and I think it's in there like twice. Yeah, it is. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them under his bosom. He'll gently lead those that are with the young. And it reminds us that he is the good shepherd. And this is his reward. He's saying, I want to scoop them up and I want to hold them and protect them and walk with them. That is my reward. And so this is what this lady wrote. She says, do you see the connection? The word behold basically says, Holy Spirit even invites us twice to behold or see. He beckons us to lean in and contemplate this scene, Jesus, with his reward accompanying him. And who is his reward? Who is this reward? His cherished flock, his beloved lambs, you and I. We are his reward. When our Savior endured unspeakably anguished torture on the cross, he had one thing in mind, you and me. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that he had his eyes set on the joy that was set before him. We are that joy. You are, and I am. His recompense, the reward of his sufferings. You were all he wanted. In his heart, in his estimation, and in his value system, you were exceedingly worth every bit of all the excruciating pain. He gave it all. He withheld nothing. Do you see or behold? He has invested absolutely everything into you. There exists no higher price than the one he paid to make you his. Jesus did not lay his life down because he felt sorry for you. He did not partake of the agony of the damned out of some sense of divine duty. No, my precious child. He died because that's how much he wanted you in his arms. That's how much he wanted to gather you close and carry you next to his own heart. And now you are his. Do you see the excellent happiness in his face to have attained the joy set before him? Do you see the pleasure sparkling in his mirthful eyes to hold you in his embrace? Do you hear the whisper of his heart? My love, my treasured one, you are surpassingly worth it all. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Man, all I can tell you is chew on that for a while. It will change your life. I know I've already said it 100 times while I've been up here. It has changed me and rocked my world. And it will do that to anyone else. And so, yeah, come on, Tim, I'm done.
When he says you and I, what was on him was you and I. Well, see, we get to hear this. But it ain't just us that he has his eyes set on. It's them out there too.
Yes, yes.
We don't go out there and tell
them. Yes, yes.
How are they going to know?
How are they going to know?
We get to hear this message.
Yes.
The ones that are lost out here aren't getting to hear it because we're too lazy to get out from these seats and go out there and tell them.
And that's...
Or we let